Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. And coming up this hour, the ethics of cloning after yesterday's scientific breakthrough on cloning stem cells. And we will tell you about the Four Freedoms Park on Roosevelt Island and play an excerpt from FDR's Four Freedoms speech from 1941 and discuss its relevance for today. All of that coming up in 1 minute. Just a quick ask first. It's day three of our spring membership drive. Please help us pay the bills and bring you meaningful independent media. And this morning, if you're just tuning in, we have a really fun extra incentive. Anyone who pledges by noon, so 53 minutes to go, is automatically entered in a contest for a $4,000 Apple product shopping spree at TechServe on West 23rd Street. $4,000 worth of credit toward iPads, iPods, iThis's, iThat's, all the Apple products and the accessories. One of you will win this $4,000 TechServe shopping spree. If you already pledged this drive or you're a sustaining member, your name is already in, and you don't have to pledge to enter, but we hope you will at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or support the station at WNYC.org. And the shopping spree contest closes at noon, so do it now. And thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting the radio station. Now, after trying for over a decade, scientists have successfully used cloning to create human embryonic stem cells. Have you heard this report in the last day? This is a big step toward being able to make replacement tissue or even replacement organs that are genetically identical to a particular patient to treat a bunch of diseases. But the second you say embryonic stem cells and cloning, people immediately think of the cloned sheep, Dolly, and what if they start cloning entire human beings? So to discuss this new development and the ethical issues surrounding it, we're joined by Arthur Kaplan, the director of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU School of Medicine. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you. So describe what the scientists actually did in very brief terms.
So what they actually did was they took an egg, human egg, took out the genetic material. Then they took an adult cell from you or me, I don't know whose it was, but a skin cell, pulled the DNA out of there, stuck it in the egg, shot a little bolt of electricity in, a la Frankenstein, but at a micro level, a little teeny jolt, fused it into the egg, and all of a sudden, for the first time ever, that became an embryo or embryo-like entity and began to develop. They took it up to about 30 divisions and pulled off a cell, a stem cell as it's called, and saw that those cells would grow, and they have now made the first cloned embryo. That's exactly the way Dolly, the sheep, was made, by the way.
And how is this different from how scientists have already been using embryonic stem cells in stem cell research?
So there are two other ways to get embryonic stem cells. One is to get them from existing human embryos. Those are left over at fertility clinics. People donate them. And so in some states, California, New York, Connecticut, it is legal to work with those cells. In other parts of the country, it has been banned because when you pull a cell out of the embryo, you destroy the embryo. The other way to do it is to take one of the adult cells, that skin cell I mentioned, or lip cell, or foot cell, and do some genetic engineering, little trick, and try and get it to revert back to being more like an embryo. That's called induced pluripotency, but all it means is we're taking a normal cell and trying to make it revert back to its youth. That's pretty experimental. People don't fully understand the technique, but it is another thing people are trying.
And the goal and the promise of this technology is that since stem cells can turn into any kind of organ cells, they could create genetically identical tissue to treat patients with neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, Huntington's, Parkinson's. Is that the primary hope?
That's the primary hope. Basically, if you're doing what I talked about, fiddling around with adult stem cells from your own body, they would have the same genes as you would. If you are fiddling around with a human embryo to get cells, those are not going to be identical to you. You're going to have to take immunosuppression like you would in a transplant. best bet for getting things that match you, cloning. That came entirely from your DNA. It's starting new growth. So there, the opportunity to grow repair cell kits or to find ways, let's say you had a severed spinal cord, to regrow it, which no one knows how to do, mm-hmm. probably the most likely tactic that will work is to clone your own neural cells mm-hmm. and then try to use them to patch that kind of a gap. We hear about growing organs. I don't know that I go quite that far yet, but there are plenty of things in the nervous system that wear out, break down, Parkinsonism, spinal cord injury. That's the game.
So while researchers were not doing this with the goal of cloning whole people, this advancement is potentially an advancement down that road, human reproductive cloning, if people wanted to go there, correct?
It is, although I'm going to put in a cautionary note. You remember Dolly, when she was born, turned out that they had about 20 miscarriages, a fair number of stillborns, and Dolly herself was not very healthy. She died prematurely and had all kinds of problems. It may be that while cloning a human embryo can get us stem cells that we can manipulate, we don't really know if you could safely clone a full adult human being that would be healthy. And the animal data makes you pretty wary of that, Brian. There's too many dead animals around. So I'm not saying it couldn't work, but it's not just a simple step from, I cloned a human embryo mm-hmm. to, there's a clone moving in next door.
So the science mm-hmm. remains complicated. And on the ethical side, I think most people are wary of human cloning. It's perceived as creepy, if nothing else. What's actually the risk of it in ethical terms, if it ever becomes possible?
I mean, that's interesting. Hollywood loves cloning. You know, the boys from Brazil, one of the Star Wars episodes was The Attack of the Clones, if anybody remembers back that far. So they've been freaking out over clone armies, bringing back the dead, making duplicates of, you know, creepy people, you know, a neighborhood of Charlie Sheen's or something. So it's got this image that we can recreate people willy-nilly, but I don't think it can actually do that. I think the fact is that environment counts, that you're going to not be able to just replicate the same person like a Xerox machine.
Because also you don't clone an adult to an adult, right? We're talking
Correct.
About some
parents.
Kind of implantation. Somebody would be pregnant. You would give birth to a newborn, even if you were cloning your favorite uncle or something like that.
Let me tell you a story. I got an inquiry a couple of years ago. Somebody said, could we clone Jesus? And you might be saying, how would we do that? Well, there's the Shroud of Turin. Maybe there's a bit of him on there if that's a real thing. But I said to them, aside from the fact they were talking about bringing back someone who's supposed to come back, but put that on the side, you had no temple in the manger. We don't have Joseph and Mary. In other words, having the same genes is nice, but as anybody who has an identical twin knows, it's not the duplicate copycat person just by having 100% genetic overlap.
Once he made it to the house floor, he might be subject to different temptations than 2,000 years ago.
But, correct. So,
but what's the way that people would be most likely to try to use it? Would it be in the context of infertility?
Yes. So I think what you would see is people saying, I can't make eggs anymore, can't make sperm anymore. Maybe I could get my DNA out and have a child in my 50s or 60s that is biologically related to me. I could see some gay couples perhaps or single person going down this road. So it's most likely in the infertility space.
And do you, as an ethicist, find that creepy? Is there something more ethically wrong about cloning, I don't know who they would clone yourself?
Most likely yourself.
So you would have your genetic material and your baby, even if you couldn't, even if you were infertile. Is there anything wrong with that?
I don't think there is. I'm in the camp that says, it would be a little odd to have someone who looked a lot like you as your child, although we certainly know people who, through sexual reproduction, just the chance odds produce that same outcome. The kid closely resembles the parent. That can happen anyway. I'm worried about safety. It's back to where I started. If you're going to try this to make a baby and you produced a slew of dead children and unhealthy children, until this works well in animals, I think it'd be irresponsible, to say the least, to try and do it in a person to reproduce.
And back to the embryonic stem cell research. Of course, conservatives have never liked that, and they oppose federal funding for it, and they say things like, we oppose the killing of embryos for their stem cells. And that is technically true, that once the stem cells are extracted, the embryos are discarded, correct, even in this new process?
That is correct, although to point out, the same people making those criticisms are not calling for the closure of infertility clinics, which destroy many unwanted embryos every day.
So I wonder if, by that logic, human cloning could actually be more palatable to those critics than using the stem cells and discarding the embryos. Human cloning could mean that the embryos are not discarded, couldn't it?
It could, but I understand your optimism, but no, not going to work, because creating a new life without sexual procreation is something that many religions oppose, and some of the conservatives are not going to be thrilled about this cloning process in and of itself. So I don't think it's going to be seen as preferred.
But is that hypocritical from an ethical standpoint, if the same people who oppose embryonic stem cell research on the grounds that embryos are being killed, if they're the same people who are opposed to human cloning, which doesn't do that?
I think it is. It doesn't make any sense to me. You've got, just to come back to the point, when somebody goes to an infertility clinic and makes six or seven embryos, and you put a few of them in, and they happily have a child, and they don't want the other embryos, they get destroyed. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to do with them. People who get all worked up about cloning, I think, have to look harder at what they're tolerating. And let me add one other thing, Brian. Mother Nature probably causes about 50% of the embryos that are made naturally to fail. They don't work right, so there's a huge failure rate naturally.
But the religionists would say, that's God doing that. That's not human beings making that decision.
Well, God may do it, but I don't think he drives us to the bedroom, so to speak. So I'm not buying that argument either.
So in our last minute, what do you think is the actual next step for this research? Because it's likely not human cloning, right?
Well, we're not going to see reproductive cloning. I'm pretty sure we're going to see legislators in different states, maybe at the federal government, try to ban human reproductive cloning, which I would support right now on safety grounds. We'll see whether they can distinguish the research use we've been talking about from the reproductive one. That's always tricky. And I think we're going to see the scientists start to use some of these clone cell lines to see whether they're actually safe to put into animals, whether they do what they're supposed to do, whether they're the panacea that we all hope they are. So that's probably the immediate future.
Well, big scientific breakthrough announced yesterday. Scientists have successfully used cloning to create human embryonic stem cells. We've been talking about the science and the ethical implications with Arthur Kaplan, director of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU School of Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
More to come. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.